Sup, freaks, it's your boy Marty here to introduce this rip of Rabbit Hole Recap. Another great rip. You guys are going to love it. It was brought to you by our good friends down the hall, Unchained. ETFs are now in the world. A lot of people are like, oh, I got to put it in my retirement account. You don't have to do that. If you want to get Bitcoin exposure in your retirement account, if you have an IRA and you want to get Bitcoin in that IRA, hit up the team at Unchained and transition your IRA into Bitcoin with Unchained's IRA product. They make it very easy. Instead of buying shares in an ETF, you can buy actual Bitcoin and hold the own keys within an IRA structure. Unchained makes it very easy. Go to unchained.com/consultation. Set up a call with their team to get hooked up. They make it very easy. You can set up a vault and transition it within a week. Get direct Bitcoin exposure. And then on top of that, maybe you don't want to hold it in an IRA. You just want to hold Bitcoin directly. Unchained has their vault product, a 2 or 3 multi-sig. Set up a collaborative custody setup where you hold 2 keys. Unchained holds 1. They have a trading desk where you can buy Bitcoin and send it straight to that cold storage multi-sig setup, that vault. They're doing things the right way. This is how you build banks without bankers, what Unchained is doing down the hall. So go to unchained.com/consultation. Hit them up to learn about their IRA product, their trading desk, their vault, anything that they're offering. This trip was also brought to you by our good friends at CoinKite. We have an announcement. CoinKite is hiring a web designer, a senior web designer. So if you're looking to get into the space, you're looking to work for one of the best companies in the space, CoinKite is certainly that. I have one of their products right behind me here, the Block Clock. I have a tap signer in my wallet. They are, again, a company building the infrastructure for banks without bankers. So go hit them up at coinkite.com/careers. Check out the description of that job description and apply there if you're a senior web designer. They need you. And then on top of that, if you're just looking for the best hardware in the space, CoinKite builds the best hardware. They have the Mark IV, which is a hardware wallet that allows you to create private public key pairs offline. You can add entropy to it via dice rolls. It's got 2 secure enclaves. It's NFC enabled. They're doing it the right way to create a private public key in the most secure way with entropy. Use the Mark IV. The cold card Q is coming out too, which is same guts as the Mark IV with more added features, a full keyboard, a QR scanner, a light, a battery pack. You'll be able to do all the same things plus some more with that device. Pre-orders are available now. So go to coinkite.com. Check all this out. And again, if you're a web designer looking to get into the space and work for one of the best companies in the space, CoinKite is hiring. Go to coinkite.com/careers and enjoy this rip.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
Logan, say it ain't so. Did you hear what I just heard?
Matt, do you even want to do the show?
I feel like nothing happened this week. What are we even going to talk about?
Freaks. 30 seconds ago, Matt just said, I don't even know if I want to do this show. 5 years, week in, week out, minus that 1 week between Christmas and New Year's, like 5 years ago, the first year. And Matt just says he doesn't want to do the show. I'm offended.
It was like week 6 we skipped. It was the only week we skipped.
I'm offended. I don't get offended easily.
We're like almost at 6 years now.
We're 5 and a half, yeah. 6 years.
You can round it up to a decade.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy. Closer to a decade than year zero. And Matt doesn't want to do the show. You hate to see it. I see you put the show notes, the title in all caps too. I like that. All caps energy.
The last, you just noticed, I think it, Logan, how many of the recent episodes? It's been like 4 now.
The last 4, yeah.
We've been on that caps for a while, Marty.
Nashville looks beautiful this time of year. I can't wait to get there next week.
Yeah, people don't know. We have like a vibrant jungle over here.
It's vibes are high. Can't wait to explore the jungle next week for the mining event, the mining summit at Bitcoin Park. Should be a great event.
It's sold out.
Sold out.
We got a great crew coming.
I'm excited for that one. A lot of things going on.
We're going to do next week's rabbit hole recap. Will be live audience Thursday at the park. I think 4 p.m. Central.
We're going to be able to live stream this one. Have we figured that out yet?
Yeah, we can live stream it.
There we go. There we go.
No, yeah, I mean, I'm clearly not in Nashville. We're working on some important stuff over here. So that's all I meant. You know, it's exhausting going on camera and like doing this show.
I don't get exhausted. I don't want to hear you fucking complain. I'm on day 5 of a 5-day fast. Okay. I haven't eaten since Sunday night. I don't want to hear you complaining. I had to get on a plane and go to a jungle. I didn't want to do a show, go on camera. I haven't eaten since Sunday night, sir. I haven't had a piece of food since 7:15 on Sunday night. It's crocodile tears.
So what have you've been consuming? It's water plus electrolytes?
Water, black coffee, Zins, and I worked electrolytes in yesterday. Yesterday I got to a point where I was like, all right, I might need to mix in some magnesium and salt. Black coffee. Actually feeling pretty good. Fasting helps put things in perspective. I've lost 14 pounds, which is pretty crazy.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
So what weight does that bring you to? Is that
189. Usually hover around 200. I'm a husky boy. I was at 203 when I started. It was right after dinner, though.
It's almost like a 10% loss. It's like a 7% loss or something.
Yeah.
Damn. That's significant.
Yeah, I'm going to put it. Good amount back on when I started eating. Yeah. I come from a family of mongoloids. We have like broad shoulders, very like triangular, long arms, short legs, jacked. Fasting's good. This is the longest fast I've ever done. I did 48 hours before last year and got challenged to go to 5 days. Wednesday was the hardest day by far. Yesterday was not too bad. I was too busy yesterday. We had a great event here at the Commons, Bitcoin for businesses. You know what? It's actually the best week to fast. Everything's going chaotic. I'm trying to find my zen, have a test of will.
Not eating
for 5 days. Oh, I got on a plane. I went to a jungle. I don't want to go on camera.
If you keep this fucking up... You're going to regret it.
Okay. Okay.
I'll leave it at that.
It has been a week, though. The suits are here.
Right. Day 2, Bitcoin history, day 2 of ETFs trading started 15 minutes ago. Fucking hilarious that they launched and then right into a 3-day weekend. So they'll like trade for 8 hours to again today. And then for 3 days, they'll be closed until Tuesday because of Martin Luther King Day.
Seems like a sell the news event too.
I think it's a little early to, I think you're a fucking idiot if you sell Bitcoin right now, but also I'm pretty consistent.
Yeah, we'll get into it first. Let's do a state of the network. Going to Clark's dashboard, the current price of Bitcoin is $45,410. One cuck buck is going to get you 2,202 sats. We're hovering right below an $890 billion market cap, sitting at $889.9 billion. Ooh, just went up to $890 billion. We are at block height, 825,471. We are... looking at Clark's mempool now, his teeny weeny mempool only has 47,000 238 transactions in it. If we go over to mempool.space, going to look at the right number here. There are 271,269 nice transactions in mempool's mempool. We are 1,089 blocks away from the next difficulty adjustment, which is estimated to be a negative 2.2% adjustment on January 19th, which is a week from today. Blocks have been coming in at 10 minutes and 13 seconds on average. Since the last adjustment, there are currently... Something happened to his dashboard where nothing is where it used to be. 10,334.73 Bitcoin in unspent capacity.
So then he just fucked with us.
Yeah. Well, Clark, I did see you tweeting out earlier this week that people are only going to the dashboard to look at price. Not us here at Rabbit Hole Recap. We go through a lot of the stats, and we appreciate the work that you do, even though you have a teeny-weeny mempool. Hey, it's the wizard, not the wand, Clark. Don't be embarrassed by your teeny-weeny mempool. Back to Samurai Whirlpool. Again, 10,334.72 Bitcoin unspent capacity. That is 469.9 million in unspent value. That is the state of the Bitcoin network. As Matt mentioned, ETFs are live. And it wasn't a boring week. Matt was being facetious in the opening. What a shit show. Dude, a beautiful shit show.
I actually woke up this morning... and I was like, what are we going to talk about on RHR? I just memory holed it. It's like a decade ago.
Days feel like years. I mean, I think we got to start with the SEC fuck up.
Which one?
Exactly. So, I mean, let's just preface this with, this is the most beautiful shit show. It's been poetic how everything has unfolded this week. Really, the best advertisements for Bitcoin have been not only the SEC's launch, but the ETF launch, the confusion around how they're buying Bitcoin, what's going on, who's winning, Grayscale's dumping, all that, Vanguard blocking their clients, Merrill blocking their clients. It's the best advertisement for Bitcoin. But we'll start with the SEC. Wednesday, what do you think happened? Was it a hack? Was it an intern fat finger? Was it a scheduled tweet that was scheduled at the wrong time? So the SEC sent out a tweet saying that the Bitcoin ETFs were approved. It looked very official. Everybody hopped on it. Price ran up for a little bit.
And they waited like 15 minutes before Gary tweeted out that it was fake news.
You think Gary was like scouring? You think he's like an infinite scroller? You're there. You there?
I fucked up because I tried to pull up our Noster live chat is at rhr.tv/stream, and I pulled it up and it killed my internet. So I'm going to back out and then come back in.
I'll look at this. Don't worry. I'll handle the live chats today. He's gone. Matt, I don't know if I can do it today. I just had a flight.
I've found that Amethyst on Android is consistently better than Zap.stream website for watching the stream and looking at the chat.
Really? Really? There he is.
There you go. We should be better now.
Yeah, you're good now. Did you hear what Logan? No, you didn't hear what Logan just said. Logan, say what you just said. Very interesting tidbit.
Amethyst on Android is better for watching the stream and looking at the chat than Zap.stream, the website. Which is strange. But it's always working when other people are having problems with Zap.stream.
Do they have like a Zap.stream module or something like that?
Yeah, Amethyst is the put everything on it app.
Interesting.
And Matt's still sitting there.
Yeah, Vitter puts every feature in Amethyst. It's like the ultimate power user app for Noster. Am I breaking up on your side? What about the audio? I know my video is breaking up.
No, the audio is clear. The video is clear too. Just don't click any buttons.
Okay. SEC. Yeah, I mean, that's just crazy. That tweet was, you know, I mean, there's all this different speculation about it. My favorite theory is that, you know, the SEC completely fucked over Elon when he said taking Tesla private at 420 in 2018 before he owned Twitter. And they made him step down as CEO of Tesla. They fined him and they appointed a Twitter sitter, a lawyer that had to approve all of his tweets for him. And Elon then tweeted out, you know, back in 2020, that the SEC could suck his dick. So there's no love lost there. And so like my favorite,
wait, it wasn't a suck his, I mean, he was like, the SEC stands for suck Elon's cock.
But he said, what does SEC stand for? E stands for Elon or whatever. And then so it was insinuating suck Elon's cock. So like my favorite theory is that like Elon was just smoking a blunt with the boys and then he just went into Twitter God mode and just pressed send tweet out of the SEC account. Because most people don't realize that because it's a completely centralized platform. They can read every DM. They can send tweets from any account they want at will. They can suspend anyone at will. And it's pretty crazy that that's just the status quo for all of these platforms. That is just a benevolent dictator that you're just hoping doesn't play games.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the SEC sends out that tweet. That was Tuesday. Then they say, nope, that Twitter account was compromised. Gary Gensler, head of the SEC, tweets out that account is compromised. We have not approved anything yet. Then maybe like 20 minutes later, 30 minutes later, they get access to the account again. They delete it. It seems like Twitter safety came out and said they didn't have two-factor enabled, which is pretty fucking bad. Like, enable two-factor on all your important accounts, especially if you're the fucking SEC. Then the next day, Wednesday, everyone was expecting approval at market close. The suits, by the way, still think like market's closed. You know, TradFi markets, I don't know if you guys are aware, close every day and weekends, which is insane. Bitcoin never closes. So they were like waiting for markets to close and everyone was expecting the announcement to come out. And then an hour early, they accidentally posted it on their website and a bunch of people found it and pulled it. And then 5 minutes later, they deleted it from the website. And then we sat around for an hour while everyone just pretended that we hadn't seen it, for them to formally come out and be like, yep, no, we approved them. And they approved all of them. There was 11 approvals, including Barry, including GBTC conversion. And they began trading yesterday.
Yeah. And then you also had the CBOE fuck up. They sent out a letter early in the day on Thursday too, that they weren't supposed to send. They fat fingered that. A beautiful shit show. Actually, Yellow sent us a video recap of what happened. Let's play this real quick.
Dude, how are you the last one to show up to your own party? That is messed up.
What party?
Your birthday party. What are you talking about?
What are you doing?
What?
Surprise party.
Surprise party?
Are you drunk?
Of course I am. It's a party.
You guys can come out. Derek messed us up. Seriously!
I was wondering where all the cars were.
How stupid can you be?
Mom, why didn't you just say it's a surprise party?
There's people here to see you. Happy birthday. Thanks a lot, Derek.
Oh, happy birthday. I'm sorry.
It's a good recap, y'all.
I'm gonna reset my computer. This is incredibly frustrating on my end.
Okay. I'll ad lib here. For 10 minutes.
I had to fly to the jungle. I didn't want to do this.
The gall on this gentleman. But on a serious note, this was a beautiful shit show of a week, completely highlighting the incompetence of the suits in the room. The smartest men in the room do not have any grasp of control over any of this. This was a massive fuck up, for lack of a better term, on behalf of the SEC. The inability for them to actually do this properly. They fought hand, tooth, and nail getting this ETF, these ETFs over the line. Then you had the official launch Thursday when everything was approved, started trading. Was it Thursday or Wednesday? Because they started trading yesterday. It was Wednesday. Official approval Wednesday night after market hours. Started trading yesterday. You had Gary Gensler send out a letter saying that he really didn't want to do this. People should stay away from crypto. Then you had Hester Pierce counter-signaling with a letter on the SEC.
There we go. Much better quality.
Okay, thank you for interrupting my monologue.
Turn it all back on again, the good old fashioned.
Yeah, just digging into the incompetence of the smartest men in the room, the nanny state, if you will, the people that are supposed to be regulating and telling us what we can and cannot buy. I was getting onto the letters that Gary Gensler set out, and basically saying, like, I didn't want to do this, but, like, we had to. The courts essentially forced them to. For all the shit we give Barry, but particularly...
Barry can go fuck.
Barry agreed, but...
That's wrong.
But that lawsuit was egg in the face for the SEC. The Washington D.C. Circuit Court is basically like, yeah, you guys are...
Now that I have good reception, Logan, pull up BitMEX Research's Twitter account. They posted a tweet this morning about inflows on the different ETFs. There's 11 of them.
You don't get to go out and then come and interrupt my monologue. Okay. We're talking about structural incompetence at the SEC, the counter signaling between Gary Gensler and Hester Pierce that afternoon. It's comical. You have a house divided in the SEC and what are supposed to be the strongest, most secure, most mature capital markets in the world. And these people don't have their shit together at all. They're completely incompetent. They're not aligned. And then, yes, the ETF started trading yesterday. Grayscale put their fees. There's monkeys in Nashville? I know you don't want to be here, but can you please, like...
I hope he joins the feed. I just pops down over here. Logan, pull up the BitMEX research inflows.
He's got it.
So all these different ETFs have been competing on... The main thing they've been competing on is fees. It was like a race to the bottom on fees. Bitwise is the lowest at 20 basis points. A bunch of them have 0% waivers. I think ARK is number two at the nice meme of 21 basis points. But why do I bring this up? Because after fucking Barry lost billions of dollars of people's money and ran them through the ringer of GBTC's discount, he launched at 1.5%. So Bitwise has a 0.2% fee. A bunch of them come in right after Bitwise at pretty low fees, and GBTC is at 1.5%. And why does he do that? The argument that they'll make publicly on CNBC and stuff is, oh, well, we're the largest. You know, we already have 600,000 Bitcoin in custody. You have the most liquidity. So we have such a good track record. Like, of course, you should pay us 1.5%. But really what it is he's, after fucking over everyone who is, you know, holding GBTC or is on the other side of his degen yield products and loans, he's holding them hostage with cap gains. He knows that a bunch of his GBTC holders have cap gains and they're not going to want to sell out of GBTC to take the cap gain hit to buy another ETF or to buy Bitcoin. So after everything's said and done, he proceeds to continue to fuck them.
Well, it seems like it's not working for him, because it seems like people are mass selling GBTC to buy the other ETFs and just taking the cap gains hit.
Barry should be in jail, and he's incredibly unethical, and he's a straight up degen. And there's no love lost there. I'm not going to give him any credit. But anyway, pull up the inflows. The inflows are really interesting. So this is, you know, net new buyers. Surprisingly, I don't pretend to really understand this shit. Like, everyone should just own Bitcoin instead of custodial wallets. But the suits want their custodial wallets, so they're going for these ETFs. Bitwise and Fidelity, absolutely crushing in terms of inflows. Ahead of BlackRock. Ahead of BlackRock, way ahead of ARK. ARK is the 21 shares. So that's really surprising to see. And specifically with Bitwise, it's actually really positive, because one thing we've been working on behind the scenes for a while is that Bitwise will be providing 10% of their fees for the next 10 years to Bitcoin developers. They're going to be donating in equal parts of that 10% to OpenSats, to HRF, and to Brink. So we're each getting 3.3% of their fees for 10 years. And I think that's just fucking awesome. Like, I think more Bitcoin companies should be building it into their model to be giving to open source developers. I think it's great that we have multiple organizations, so you don't have to necessarily trust one single organization. I think it's great that we have these organizations. Like, we built OpenSats so that it's really easy for you to support developers. You don't have to do the hard work. You know, if you give us dollars or Bitcoin, if you give us dollars, we'll convert it to Bitcoin. And if you give us Bitcoin, we'll just hold that Bitcoin, and we hold our treasury in Bitcoin. And then our 9-person board, 5 of 9 votes, and we're paying out the grants in Bitcoin. And what's really nice there is, not only do they not have to do, you know, the actual review and work and follow-ups on these different projects, it also separates them from, like, potentially influencing developers, right? Because it's a hands-off arrangement. First of all, there's no strings attached with their donation. And if anyone wants to put strings attached to a donation to OpenSats, I'll just kindly tell them to go fuck off. But also, like, you know, there is a concern with certain conflicts of interest if you have an exchange or a ETF that's funding the developers directly, right? And those developers are trying to live their lives and pay rent and pay for their family's expenses, and they have to be careful about what they say or what they work on because of who's funding them. So I mean, hats off to Bitwise. I think that is great, and you know, it's obviously not purely altruistic, and that's the beauty of it, right? What the obvious reason why someone like Bitwise would do this is because it's a very competitive field of 11 ETFs, and they want something that differentiates themselves, right? Like, I think if for whatever reason you're buying an ETF and you care about Bitcoin and you care about the movement, you should buy one that supports Bitcoin developers. And then on the long term, like, just imagine one of these ETFs having, you know, like $1 trillion worth of Bitcoin and hundreds of billions of dollars of Bitcoin in custody, and they're not supporting the maintainers that maintain the underlying protocol, is just reckless. Like, you're essentially putting at risk all of those funds because you're not supporting the underlying protocol and the open source devs that make this movement possible. So I encourage all profitable Bitcoin businesses to adopt this kind of model. I think it creates this beautiful, sustainable funding. I thought that was really cool. So anyway, Bitwise's ticker is BitB, it's worth.
I just ran the numbers, Matt, and day one, OpenSats, HRF, and Brink, as it stands right now, will each be getting $15,701 per year. That is your cut of their management fees.
Yeah, I haven't verified that number. I think it's a little bit early. It's worth noting that these are paid out. It's going to be paid out annually in dollars. And like I said, we'll just immediately convert it. I also think And I'm obviously not speaking for Bitwise. I have like no inside information here, but my guess is, some of these fees might go up. We've never seen such like a competitive ETF launch because the SEC dragged their feet for so long. The fact that day one of ETFs, you know, had 11 of them at the same time. So you got to imagine that, you know, the top four are going to get the majority of the volume and the other ones are going to kind of like fade into irrelevance. And so at that point, I wonder if fees do start to creep up a little bit there. So who knows? I think it's early days, but regardless, I think it's a massive commitment and just love to see it.
Love to see it too.
And hopefully it pressures the other guys into it. You know, like BlackRock, Fidelity, and ARK aren't supporting open source developers. And I know there's people at those organizations that would like to, and I think it puts a little bit of pressure on them to do it. And most Bitcoin companies aren't supporting open source developers. So I think it puts pressure across the board for people to be a little bit more proactive in supporting the developers that make it all possible.
Well, if you're listening to this podcast via Podcasting 2.0 compatible app, give us a boost. Put your stream per minute on, because 5% of the Podcasting 2.0 revenue goes straight to OpenSats node. Trying to do our small part here at Rabbit Hole Recap as well. It's great to see Bitwise. Who's the other one? VanEck? Do this?
Yeah, I mean, VanEck seems like it's going to be largely irrelevant. But they're giving 5%. I don't know for how many years, but they're giving 5% to Brink.
Yeah.
But it seems like they got pretty much no inflows.
Yeah, and I know we're... I know we're not ETF stands here, but it was good to see that Fidelity had some success yesterday, considering that they're actually doing things the right way. Built their own custody.
Yeah, they own their own infrastructure. They're the only ones that are holding the underlying Bitcoin in their own infrastructure. Most of them are using Coinbase. And I think Galaxy is using Gemini, which is an interesting choice. Given yeah. Gemini's track record.
And somebody's using, one of them's using BitGo too, I'm pretty sure.
Maybe. Anyway, most of this, I don't know, you know, Coinbase can go fuck themselves. They sell surveillance software to the US government and a bunch of other governments and agencies and whatnot. But on the custodian side, they've somehow yet to rug anybody. They have an insanely impressive track record. So if you're not Fidelity, like I'd almost be more concerned if one of these guys were like spinning up their own. So, but anyway, through the Bitwise announcement, Coinbase is finally supporting Bitcoin core developers inadvertently. So we got that going for us.
Still no Lightning. Still no Lightning. Brian Armstrong promised it last year. No Lightning. Another event that happened yesterday as the ETFs rolled out. Wasn't expecting this. Were you expecting this? Broker dealers, brokerage firms, Vanguard, Merrill, I believe a couple others. I mean, JP Morgan had a warning sign when he went to buy the ETF, but Vanguard was not allowing their customers to buy at all. Merrill, same thing. Went to go buy the ETF. It said, this isn't at Vanguard. This isn't available. The only thing you can do with these is sell. So if you had GBTC already on Vanguard, and when it transitioned to the ETF, you couldn't even buy more of it. You could buy it before yesterday, but now you can only sell it.
They did like a Robinhood GameStop thing where like they turned off the buy button. You know, I think, look, I mean, it's the beauty of Bitcoin is that it doesn't require permission. The negative of ETFs is that it requires permission and requires trust, and you have massive custodial risk. But I think some of that is overplayed. You know, these large institutions, they move quite slowly. They have their own like internal approval processes. So like the better question is really, the better question is like in 2 months, like how many of them are still blocking it? And the other aspect is, I know for some of these, they have different approval processes for like their IRA products. They tend to be more nannying about like retirement or trust accounts.
No, Vanguard came out with a pretty explicit statement saying, we have a very long-term view on markets, and we don't think that crypto or Bitcoin and the volatility is advantageous for our clients. So we're making the executive decision to prevent you from buying these. I mean, they said something pretty explicit. I actually heard a good theory out there, which is obviously leading up to the approval of the ETF, and even after with Gary Gensler's letter, it was pretty clear that there are some people in the government, the Elizabeth Warrens of the world, who do not want to see this in the world. And so Vanguard and Merrill making these types of moves is sort of a signal to the government, like, hey, we're going to play ball with you. We're gonna counter signal this ETF with you, and sort of like, we'll scratch your back with a social signal if you scratch our back down the line.
Look, Vanguard definitely seems like they're trying to make a point and they're trying to make a stand. And they also offer their own ETFs that are, you know, but not a Bitcoin ETF. There's 11 Bitcoin ETFs and there's not a Vanguard one. But I know it's provocative, but like, I don't think you can necessarily extrapolate that to all the others. The truth of the matter is, because the SEC waited this long, I'm not supporting any kind of nannying and deciding how you use it, which is why I don't have accounts with any of these fucking companies. Like, I just hold Bitcoin. Like, you can do that too. And you can just opt out of the fucking permission system. Because the SEC waited so long, it was so hyped, right? And Bitcoin, there's so much demand for Bitcoin right now, that if you were a unsophisticated trader and you tried to trade in the opening, like on the opening bell on these ETFs, a lot of people probably got fucking wrecked on them because they were trading at ridiculous premiums. They're still trying to like source the Bitcoin and like buy the underlying Bitcoin. Like, the rumor is that a bunch of these like authorized participants, which seem like they're essentially market makers, right? Like, they take the cash and they source the Bitcoin and then send the Bitcoin to whatever custodial wallet is being used. Are essentially just hedging with futures and are like taking on a certain level of risk, financing risk, while they try and source the Bitcoin. So it's gonna take a little bit for these products to actually operate efficiently and track the price of Bitcoin and not have big swings. I mean, I don't want to pull up markets right now because it'll probably just fucking crash my internet in the jungle. But
we can search. What do you want us to search?
But my point is like, it'll take a couple months probably for these things to start tracking it well and start operating efficiently, and for, you know, normies not to just get absolutely brutalized because they don't know what they're doing. And it's, you know, at the same time, you know, most of these ETFs, like BlackRock, I think is one share is 0.002 Bitcoin. It's 1/2000th of a Bitcoin.
This unit bias come in.
Well, it's not just unit bias, right? Because they could have done 1/1000 and like, okay, so like if the share is $45, then Bitcoin's $45. But they made you do another little piece of math, right? It's if it's trading at $27, that's equivalent to $54,000. So like, people don't really realize where the price is tracking and what the price is tracking, and they're not buying the underlying right away. So if you are the type of nagging financial institution, there is a compelling argument that you just take your time here. And if you wait 2 weeks, if you wait 3 weeks before you allow people to access these things, you know, they've been waiting 15 years to access them. So what's another 3 weeks or 4 weeks? So I would just say that, and we can, you know, we'll keep tracking it as time goes on, and that'll be a better idea of how they actually are going to operate long term.
Yeah, it's going to take time. The market's figuring it out. Again, it was a beautiful shit show of the week. Best advertisement for self-custodied Bitcoin outside of these centralized third parties that has ever existed. The best advertisements are not running on spots between CNBC. They are coming from the incompetent incumbent government agencies and financial institutions. And I think Vanguard will eventually bend the knee because, I mean, who knows how much capital actually flowed out of there yesterday, but there was a healthy amount of individuals signaling that they were moving their funds from Vanguard to Fidelity yesterday. Who knows if that's a material flow of capital from Vanguard out of Vanguard. But you have to imagine that if the price does go crazy, whether it's driven by the ETFs or not later this year, and Vanguard's still holding the line to not give their customers access to these ETFs, that they will have a significant outflow of capital. So the market will simply force their hand to bend the knee and begin offering these to clients.
Yeah, or these people can just buy Bitcoin.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I would recommend. Like, that's what we recommend here. You've been able to buy Bitcoin for 13 years now.
And if the argument is you want an IRA account, you can do it via Unchained with self-custody.
Yes.
Now, I don't know what the specifics there are in terms of tax implications if you move to Unchained.
I don't think there are any. I think they've set it up in a way where you can do a transfer without any tax hits.
I don't have any retirement accounts. Bitcoin's my retirement account. So.
Yeah. There was one other thing I wanted to mention about yesterday.
I think people are just going to keep getting rugged and fucked over on these ETFs in different ways. So I think a lot of lessons will be learned over time.
I want to apologize to anybody listening and watching. Snotty Ben is here today. I didn't say this on air. The wind attacked my family last night. I woke up at 4:30. The wind in Austin, it's absolutely brutal today. It blew open the French doors in my bedroom last night at 4:30 a.m. early this morning. Thought somebody was attacking the house. It was the wind. Let a lot of cold air in. Got a runny nose today. I had something else to mention about this. It's going to take time. We'll see if they figure it out. It is crazy because it has also lifted the veil on how opaque these products are. Like the ETF influencers from Bloomberg are having a field day this week, a lot of engagement, and everybody's going to them like, what is happening? And like, is it T+1? Is it T0? Like, how's the Bitcoin actually getting into here?
It's T+2, I think. It takes them 2 days to get the Bitcoin into custody, to source the Bitcoin and put it into custody.
Yeah,
because dollars move very slowly and institutions move very slowly.
And this is another reason why you buy Bitcoin directly via something like Unchained or River. It's because, as we know throughout Bitcoin's history, Bitcoin's up days, like material up days, happen like very infrequently, happen fast, and God forbid, for anybody who wants exposure via the ETF, it happens over the weekend. You're going to have to wait till Monday to buy, whereas if you have an Unchained account, a River account, you can just smash buy.
But not this weekend. You have to wait till Tuesday.
Yes. Holiday weekends, you have to wait a little longer.
Like as this bull starts to rip, there's going to be such crazy
dislocations.
Yeah, like the market action when like markets close on when TradFi markets close on Friday, and then there's like 60 hours or something like that, like 55 hours till they open again. And like a 3 day weekend, even more, and they close every day. Like half the day they're closed. So it should be interesting to see how it plays out. But I'm just going to reiterate that I think people that are saying that it's the ETFs are a nothing burger in terms of purchasing power and price and demand for Bitcoin. I think those takes will age horribly. I think it is a paradigm shift. I think the good old days of Bitcoin, that era is coming to a close. We're entering, we're leaving the gradually phase and entering the suddenly phase. And there's, trillions of dollars of capital that have been sitting on the sidelines just waiting for the easy ability to to have BlackRock give them price exposure, or have Bitwise or one of these other ETFs give them price exposure. And their mandate, I mean, obviously it requires trust, but their mandate it legally expects them to have one-to-one Bitcoin holdings. As people buy these shares, they have to go and source the Bitcoin on the open market, buy the Bitcoin and hold it. And a lot of that Bitcoin. Yeah. So the demand is, I think, is going to be insane. We'll see what plays out.
Shout out to the Anon and the Zap.stream for zapping us 502,100 sats, 500,000 sats. Holy. Thank you, sir.
Appreciate you. I'm glad we ripped RHR today.
That's all it took. You didn't want to have a good conversation with your friend, Marty Ben, your brother. Been doing this for six years almost.
Dude, I could sit in a dark room with my eyes closed and just have a conversation with you in my head without you in the room.
I don't know whether to be flattered or creeped out by that.
But you don't have you can't just
I have the Odell angel and demon on my shoulder at all times. There's two versions of you. Low cap Odell and and as it pertains, like this being a sell the news event, I think it is important to take into consideration GBTC again with where their fees are. I think that's putting a lot of sell pressure on as people try to get out of that fund structure and into another one.
Logan, can you pull up the GBTC price chart? I don't know if just since they started trading, like just to go back to my previous thing about, just like the fuckery that's going on and like how dangerous it can be to normies. The volatility on GBTC when it opened was fucking insane. It like wicked up super high, like it wicked down. It went absolutely apeshit. In a lot of ways, you know, Gensler probably, he like gave Barry a bone. He did, probably not intentionally, but he gave Barry a bone because of the cash creates and exits. Like if you want to exit, it has to sell for cash. If you want to enter, it has to sell for cash. So most of the GBTC people probably feel trapped because of cap gains and they're just hostages to Barry.
Logan, here's a better chart.
Yeah, I mean, the chart Logan brought up made it seem not that bad. But it's still pretty bad. But yeah, fuck Barry. I can't believe, yeah, whatever. I can believe it. I'm not surprised.
Always finds a way. He always finds a way. All right, ETFs are live. New era of Bitcoin.
Hopefully that's the most we'll ever talk about ETFs going forward.
Yes.
We will continue to track their progress and the shenanigans that undoubtedly will unfold.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll be talking about an ETF rug at some point in the future. Sorry, freaks. Do we cover Fediment?
I have a hard stop in 10 minutes.
Okay, did we cover Fediment version 0.2.1 last week? I don't think we did.
We did.
Did we?
Yeah, the first stable release, right?
I don't think we did. Well, anyway.
Okay, cover.
Bears repeating. Fediment version 0.2.1 has been released. This is the first stable release of the Fediment open source protocol, which allows individuals to build federated Chaumian mints on top of Bitcoin. This is a big milestone for the Fediment project, which we've been talking about for 2 years now. With version 0.2.1, you can have confidence that you can build on this and have an app that will be sustainable into the future. Every update to the Fediment protocol going forward will be backwards compatible with this version. So this is sort of like the first big stable release and should incite a bunch of innovation around the Fediment protocol. Officially.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
I mean, people have been like, oh, Fediments are nothing. It's like it's an open source protocol. It takes years to build. We're finally there.
What I was going to say is like, just to explain that in layman terms, like if you had a Fediment live before this, and you had a bunch of user funds in it and you had your, you know, multi-sig federated quorum, with all your different signers, like you'd have to shut down the Fediment, return all funds, and then update to this release and then relaunch the Fediment, which obviously is pretty untenable. So it's an absolute, it's a very big deal that we have a stable release that will be backwards compatible going forward. And people can actually start shipping these things.
Yeah, I'm massively bullish. I actually recorded an episode with Eric Yakes yesterday talking about Fediments in depth for about an hour and a half, and very exciting. You can do banks without bankers. This is actually, I wanted to bring it up because it's a great juxtaposition to the ETF headlines where TradFi is trying to smash form fit Bitcoin into their structure. And I truly believe, I know there's a lot of haters out there, but I truly believe that something like Fediments enables us to rebuild a financial system from scratch using appropriate technology and assurances with Bitcoin reserves. Shout out to everybody building on there. We got the Fedi team behind me, Mutant teams in Madeira right now. Everybody working on this. Cashew. Shout out Kaye. It's not federated, but
a couple of those people you mentioned are with me right now.
Okay.
But
tell them I said hi. Are they in the trees?
Yeah.
One thing I did want to mention, since we have a hard stop here in 7 minutes or whatever. I know you don't like these topics, but I do want to bring it up. Like the airstrikes on Yemen yesterday via the US and UK. I'm not sure if you've been following what's going on in the Red Sea. I've been following it pretty closely behind the scenes, but everybody's looking at the ETF as this bullish catalyst for Bitcoin. And I actually think this geopolitical situation could be like, I don't want to use the word bullish because war is not good, but in terms of a catalyst that would drive people to Bitcoin, I think this could be a black swan if things escalate. Because obviously the Red Sea is popping off right now. The Houthi rebels have been attacking container ships, Western container ships, for weeks now, basically counter-signaling the war in Palestine. What was that?
It's been longer than weeks.
Yeah, like a month now.
Yeah.
And so the West, for anybody who's unaware, the West created what's called the Red Sea Coalition. And this is where things get hairy. It's a Red Sea Coalition, but it's all Western countries that have this coalition. There's no bordering countries in the Red Sea that are part of this coalition. And I just think that is a terrible misstep by the United States and the rest of the Western allies, because it's really going to piss off people in the Middle East. Obviously, oil markets are big in the Middle East. Oil markets are massive for the global economy. The Houthi rebels are backed by Iran, and this direct strike on Yemen, which is illegal. If we're going to bomb a country, Biden and Rishi Sunak should have gotten permission from Congress here and the House of Commons over in the UK. They did not do that. They just went into it. And it seems like things in the Middle East are popping off and could escalate to the point where the Lindsey Grahams of the world and the warmongers, the war hawks of the world can get what they wish, which is pulling Iran into a war, which would not be good at all. And again, I don't... What was that?
I mean, I can't believe I said I had a 10-minute hard stop and this is what we're having a conversation about.
I prefaced it. I said, I know you don't, but I do think it's important.
Obviously, you know, Bitcoin as this trust minimized, permissionless, global financial network and financial asset is going to be heavily affected by macro environment. And, you know, this is part of what we've been talking about on RHR for a while. Like, just the macro setup for Bitcoin is absolutely insane. You know, we're near all-time highs, rates are super high, we're entering an election year, the Suez Canal is essentially blocked off by Iran, and there's halvings coming up. Like, the amount of macro things that create this like almost insane bullish setup for Bitcoin at this point in its adoption cycle are hard to overstate. That said, like this is literally why like the U.S. Navy exists, is to try and keep open trade in the seas. So if the alternative is just like let them close the Suez Canal unilaterally, how are you supposed to respond to that? Like what is the response? You know, you're just like, okay, fine. Like, we'll just ship around Africa now and just have massive logistics issues and have the economy, the global economy get absolutely fucked as a result of this action on Iran's part. Like that, it just is, you're kind of fucked in either direction.
The other option is Israel stop leveling Palestine. Like, I think that's why they started in the first place. And that's just this disconcerting thing, whether it's the situation in the Middle East, what's been going on in Ukraine for the last few years, the inability of the West particularly. I mean, we know with Ukraine specifically that Boris Johnson told Zelensky not to go to the peace talk tables in early 2021 or 2022, and sort of extended that war. And it doesn't seem like the West particularly wants peace and is ready to engage in all-out war. And as a millennial who's two-thirds of his life has involved wars in the Middle East, I just don't think this is messed up. Like, yes, the U.S. Navy is there to ensure that you have the facilitation of free trade in the water, but I don't know. I think this is a slippery slope that could end bad for... It could end much worse than if you were to try to get peace talks.
My point is, Marty, that the real trend to watch is that the era of the United States government as this world hegemony that tries to bring quote unquote stability to everything in the world.
It's not scalable.
It's just coming to an end. It's coming to an end. And so as these institutions break down, we need trust-minimized options to migrate to, right?
Agreed.
And that's this greater trend that is happening.
I mean, you had Saudi Arabia come out in defense of Yemen yesterday, which is like they've been bombing Yemen for years, and even they were like, "Whoa, guys, this is getting a little too crazy."
I haven't been following it. I didn't even, you know, I have not opened Twitter in like 2 days. But
that's bullshit.
The trend is, you're right. I do open Twitter, but I just go straight. I go to Balkanus's, like just to track the ETF stuff. The trend here is that there's tools now around the world, right? That in their asymmetrical tools, right? Like they provide an asymmetrical advantage to less powerful people, whether that's something like Bitcoin, whether that's something like 3D printed guns, whether that's drones, right? And what the Houthis have been able to do with backing from Iran is basically close the Suez Canal for incredibly cheap, right? And this is a greater trend that we're watching. And regardless of the opinions on the specific actions of all these parties involved, I think the real question is, can the U.S. even get the Suez open again, and how, like, what cost is that going to come at? Like that, every time those missiles go up, and like the U.S. spends, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, and it all comes out of all of our pockets, and like a $400 drone boat, like a $200 drone boat, gets sent out by the Houthis. So it's everything is changing. The world is changing. And you either have to adapt or die, right? I think it's gonna get crazy out there.
Yeah, and like the disruption to the Suez already, Logan. I put that article in. If you go down to the tweet from Ryan Peterson, the CEO of Flexport, pull up the tweet and pull up the picture. But you can see this is the yellow ships. Are the amount of ships that have decided to go around the Horn of Africa over going through the Suez Canal. So the disruption's already here. Will it persists, it seems likely now that we've attacked Yemen, what effect will that have on international markets? WTI crude was up to $76 yesterday. It seems like oil prices are going up. This will obviously put inflationary pressure on the supply of goods as the cost of shipping these goods around the world goes up significantly, and the time to get these goods to market goes up significantly due to the fact that these shipping containers cannot go through the canal. So I wanted to bring it up because I don't think enough people are talking about it as a pertain. Everybody's focused on the ETF. And again, I hate to use the word bullish catalyst, but I think for lack of a better term, like this geopolitical situation, I think could be a black swan that many aren't paying attention to that could have a material effect on Bitcoin, especially if the Western allies successfully piss off the Middle East enough to really lean into the BRICS partnership more than they have already. And I know you got to go. Before we go, we have to read shout-outs. And we got good shout-outs this week, too. We got good stats flow on the shout-outs this week. Rabbit Hole Recap 286, excuse me, Onward. At Marks, M-A-R-K-S, boosted 210,000 sats. Sup? First-time booster, long-time sat streaming freak. Check out my new podcast called Freedom Tech Wrap. Short weekly episodes that bring you Freedom Tech news and project updates in 20 minutes or less. Find it on the Podcasting 2.0 apps. Just search Freedom Tech. The first episode mentioned Marty as well as OpenSats. Much love from fellow Austin BitDevs groupie. More podcasts out there. More Freedom Tech podcasts. Shout out to you, Marks. At Bitcoin.rocks, 210,000 sats. 210,000 sats to start off the boost for this week. Introducing Vote for Better Money, a nationwide campaign to show Americans why Bitcoin is better money. Starting now, you can use our flyer stickers and links to spread the message leading up to the 2024 presidential election. Later this year, you'll be able to use our campaign signs to boost the signal as we get closer to the election. Together, we can show Americans that a politician won't fix our problems, but better money will. Learn more and get involved at voteforbetter.money. Shout out to you, Bitcoin.rocks. At W2Cuck, wage slave. That's a very interesting way to signal that you're a wage slave. Getting those cuck bucks. Wage cuck. 105,000 sats. 3 six-figure boost to start the week. Long-time listener, first-time booster. Love you guys. The signal is strong. Keep it that way. Stay humble. Stack them sats. Stack them dim sats. Thank you, Wage Great Cuck. Advice. At Eric99 boosted 50,000 sats. Beware, freaks.
Great advice.
It is great advice. It is great advice. Thank you, Eric.
Okay, well, I gotta jump.
Hey, will freaks. You promise me one thing? Will you be more excited next week when we do our live rip? Like, you want to be here?
I make no promises. No, next week is going to be fucking lit. Tomorrow around 3 Central Time, like 2100 UTC, I'm going to be doing a Citadel dispatch. It's going to be like a round table with maybe like 8 wallet devs, maybe 10 wallet devs. So definitely come join us in the live chat for that. That's citadeldispatch.com/stream.
When are you doing that?
Tomorrow at 3 p.m. Central, 2100 UTC.
Nice Saturday afternoon. Kids are napping.
Yeah, it'll be a good rip. It'll all be in person. Everyone's in person, so it'll be great. Just the moment is near, you know, eyes on the prize. We need to make Bitcoin. We need to make freedom money the standard sooner rather than later. The sooner we get these tools in people's hands, the way better. There's people hurting all around the world, and they need these tools yesterday. So the sooner we can get these tools in people's hands, try not to be too distracted by the ETFs. Try and focus on what is truly important, and stay humble, stack sats.
We're gonna win, freaks. Peace and love.